Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with Life Support Outreach Church and the Prayer Room Ministry. And we're so excited today. I'm excited to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight. I just give God all the praise and glory tonight. I magnify his holy name tonight. I give reverence to God who is my life and to everyone in their respective places. I give reverence to Apostle Deans in his absence and to all of you. I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast for our study of the Word of God and our Bible class. We're gonna call out our Bible class to order now, and we're gonna have a short devotion, a song, a scripture, and a prayer, and we'll get right into the Word of God. God bless you all.
Thundering Christ, connected you. I found.
You know my name.
Coming from Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou comparest my path and my laying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I have just read you from Psalms 139, from the first verse down to the 10th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, the most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come on tonight humbly before your throne of grace, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we come on tonight just confessing and repenting and asking you to forgive us and cleanse us, wash us, through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we first of all come right now to bind the strong man tonight from this radio broadcast. We come binding the strong man from our lives, Lord. We bind up the strong man now, Father. We cast him out and we command him to go in the mighty name of Jesus. For you said, whatever I bind on earth now is already bound in heaven, and whatsoever I loose on earth is already loose in heaven. Father, I bind him now in the mighty name of Jesus from our lives and from this radio broadcast. I ask you to let me decrease, that the Holy Spirit may increase and minister to us on tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, I know nothing of myself. So I ask you tonight to just search me, search my heart, my mind, and my spirit. If there is anything in the way, God, I ask you to remove it right now. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit and a sound mind on tonight, God. And Father, I will be so careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name that I pray. And ask it all. Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord, everybody. We just going to get started in our dreams and visions. This will be our last week of study and our last week of Sunday worship. For a couple of weeks. So I had said December the 3rd, but we may go back the next week. We may take 2 weeks off. I don't know. I don't know if I can hold off that long, but we'll see. So we're going to just see what God says. We're going to just see what he says. And so we left out talking about the birds, the creatures, the buzzards and the vultures and stuff like that in your dream, but we're going to be talking about the creatures of the night in your dream. Birds have a unique characteristic, enable them to be used in many different roles in dreams. In addition to being able to fly, they are very colorful. Their habits and inhabitants are varied. They walk on two legs, and they are the only creatures with feathers. But they are not the only ones that fly. Bats fly too. Bats are different from birds in many respects, yet they are similar in that they have only two legs and can fly. Like owls, they are creatures of the night. They're also on Moses' list of forbidden food not to eat owls. One species is called vampire bat because they drink blood. They alone, with all their other faults, make them a perfect symbol for witchcraft. And that is usually what they signify, witchcraft. There are a few more things that they can represent, like near blindness, giving rise to expression, blind as a bat. Bats usually portray something negative. Bats portray something negative when you have a dream of a bat. In fact, it's hard to imagine them being used any other way, but they have one redeeming trait. They invent radar. Well, almost. A bat uses sound as a type of radar to fly in complete darkness. This is comparable to discerning of spirits. When they can just, what they do is they just hear sound and they'll know which way to go. One of the nine spiritual gifts given to the church is discerning spirit. Okay, the multitude of meanings. There are several more scriptures where birds are used symbolically in the following passage. Evil is symbolized by restless raven and rest and peace by a dove. Okay. Evil is symbolized by restless raven and rest and peace by a dove. And Genesis chapter 8, verse 7 through 12 says, and he, Noah, sent forth a raven from the ark, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also, he sent forth a dove. He sent forth a raven first. Then he sent forth a dove. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him, unto the ark, and he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth a dove out of the ark, and the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was a olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth, and he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth a dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Thousands of years later, Isaiah wrote, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. That's Isaiah 57, verse 20. And 1,000 years after that, Jesus interpreted Noah's action in Luke chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, which says, and into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. So the birds can also represent gossip, slander, as seen in the following scriptures. Okay, it's curse the king. Evil not in thy thought, and curse not the in the bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which have wings shall tell the matter. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. They can also represent the cause or spirit behind a curse, as the bird of wandering, as the swallow by flying. So the curse causeless shall not come. That's Proverbs 26 and 2. So, you know, a lot of times when you have dreams about birds, it's like they are messengers anyway. They always taking something or bringing something, carrying something or bringing something or taking something. So then you have beast, cattle, and creeping things. As the sixth day of creation dawned, God undertook another momentous task. The formation of land animals, and God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 25. Now, you know the specific classification mentioned here, beasts, cattle, and creeping things. They are three important keys to understanding the symbolism hidden in animals, because a lot of times people think about dogs and cats and birds and things like that, and sometimes they dream about other animals. I know earlier we introduced Elisha's bear that mauled the 42 scornful it and showed that they represented a curse. The Bible teaches that a serpent may also be a curse. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And that's Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. You know, a lot of times you can dream about, a lot of people dream about snakes. I have, but I don't know. You dream about snakes. I always thought snake, when you dream about a snake, it was the enemy. But sometimes it could be something else. It could be showing you different things. You can dream of curses and things like that when you dream of snakes and stuff like that, because a snake was cursed. God cursed the snake for tricking Eve. And over in Galatians chapter 3:13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And after dying to atone for our sins and destroying the curse that we were under in the process, Jesus arose to walk in the power of an endless life. He became the stronger than he of Luke. So when a strong man keep his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger man, then he shall come upon him and overcome him or overtake him. He taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted and divided his spoil. You know, this trying to show you how a strong man is. You know, I mean, you know, before you can go and pray against any evil spirit, anything like that, you have to bind up the strong man. You know, you can't really even pray against an evil spirit or a demon or whatever. You have to bind the strong man. So, we're going to go on to talk about the beast of the earth. And these are different animals that we dream about sometimes. Sometimes we can just dream, I don't know. You know, we're trying to figure out and try to interpret different things. And a lot of, you know, when God dealing with you in dreams and visions, you need to know a whole lot of things, and you need to know the basics so you'll know if I'm dreaming about this bird or what happened, if I'm dreaming about this beast or this snake or a duck or whatever it is, a spider, whatever it is, it's something you can interpret your dream. It's a meaning to it, and God is trying to get across to you. So that's why I'm going through as much as I am. But, you know, I just want everybody to know when you're trying to help and interpret dreams for people, and you should know the meaning of a whole lot of different things so you won't stray and lead nobody the wrong way. Okay, the beast of the earth, the beast category includes the Antichrist of John's vision. And I sit upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. On the other hand, the beast category also includes John's vision of Christ's ministers in the king's throne room. Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The lion represents the apostle. The calf or the ox portray the evangelist. The man depicts the pastors, teachers. And as we have already seen, the eagle represents the prophet. There are several animals named in the Bible that are beasts of burden. They all belong to the same category as calf. I said beast that are of breed. B-U-R-D-N. I know I'm not pronouncing these the right way. Beast of burden. They all belong to the same category as cattle. Some are considered clean and others unclean. Interestingly enough, the difference has nothing to do with whether they are tame or useful or even whether they are good table fare. But instead, it depends upon what they wear on their feet and how they eat. Moses' only concern was whether their hooves were solid or divided, whether they chew a cud or not, and could. Whatsoever parted the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud or of them that divide the hoof as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divided not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. That's Leviticus chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. And the latter part of this scripture is another one of those buzzard laws. I don't think I care for camel meat anyway. The writer of Hebrews says the law had a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, Paul compared the law to a bronze mirror, which produces a somewhat dim and distorted reflection. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, the law governing clean and unclean creatures contain many obscure pictures, such as they describe. Like, let's take a closer look. Let's see. Dividing the hoof and chewing the cud. Dividing the hoof relates to rightly dividing the word. 2 Timothy verses 2 and 15. In the spirit, we walk with our word. Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, Genesis 3 and 8. That's the reason God said you should have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6 and 15. That's also the meaning of the strange custom described in Ruth. Now in Ruth 4 and 7, says, now this was the manner in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoes and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. So the other man must needed some shoes, so this man took his shoes off and gave the man. Giving another person's one shoes was the same as saying, I give you my word back then. Whether you dream of hooves or shoes, they mean the same thing, word. And since we walk with word, by extension, walk is another meaning for foot or shoes. Moses' law reveals that these are those who try to use God's word without correctly dividing it are considered unclean or in error in the eyes of God. Dividing the word is what we're doing right now. We're dividing the natural audience to obtain the spiritual meaning. In other words, we're separating the natural form, the natural from the spiritual. And the way we're doing it is by chewing the cud, talking about it, talking about the word. That's what meditating upon the word is all about. We have to chew on it a while before we can grasp the underlying thought behind some of it, because it's hard. It's a hard saying. Through meditation, we break them down until we comprehend their true meaning. And then once we understand them, we can do what they instruct us to do, utilizing them to direct our lives. Otherwise, we're just swallowing the word whole without benefiting from it. We have to always study to show ourselves approved. And a lot of times when you study, and when I study, you know, you have to pray first, you have to pray in the middle, you have to pray at the end, because a lot of times that word gets past us, you know. And if we don't sit there and meditate, just chew on it a little bit, let it saturate your mind, pray out and ask God to help you, you won't understand. Otherwise, you know, you just digest and swallowing it whole. You don't understand. In other words, you're not getting it. Oh, amen. So we're talking about bulls and oxen now. Dreaming of an animal with hooves divided or otherwise doesn't necessarily mean the animal refers to the words. There are several more characteristics that should be taken into consideration. For example, bulls often have horns and are known for aggression. Horns mean power and authority. That's what horns mean, but not necessarily legitimate authority. Quite often, a bull symbolizes opposition and persecution. Another meaning is idolatry, or by extension, it can stand for false religion. When the stock market is involved, a bull refers to prosperity. It means the same as when a person says, that's just a bunch of bull. One of the flip sides, when Paul was defending his apostleship to the Corinthians, he used an oxen symbolically to represent God's minister, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. Especially the evangelistic aspects of the ministry, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Do we have someone want to say, have a comment, or would like to ask a question, have anything to say? I'm just going and going. Why are oxen, why is an ox used to depict minister? And it's three specific reasons for that. Oxen are nurtured animals. Evangelists are not supposed to gather for themselves, but for God. The church is the king's harem, not the evangelist, nor the pastors, but ministers are to be spiritual enoughs in the house of their God. Ox are used for sowing and reaping. As Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, the ox was the primary animal used for plowing and threshing. Ox are used to depict ministers because increasing the body of Christ is by their labor. Where no ox are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. So they, when they speak of this ox, they're talking, I just say about men, it's just the work that we have to do, how hard we have to work. We have to go at it, and that's, they just doing that to let you know the things that we have to do. Even though, you know, these titles don't mean a whole lot to me, because we have to get out there and get it. And if I'm going to dream about it, I know it's spiritual. I know it has something to do with apostles and ministers and prophets and stuff. So just always remember that some people don't even know what an ox looks like, but they know it's a big, big animal. And when you see them, it represents power and authority. When you see a big animal, period, you can see a gorilla, you know he got a lot of power and authority, because you're not going to stand up in front of his face without something in between y'all. So it's you have to really, in dreams, like I said, the best thing you can do is write it down, meditate on it, ask God to help you with it, to interpret it, because it's a meaning to everything we dream about. It's a meaning for it. It's a meaning to it. And we have to really, really stay in tune with it, so we'll know what to do, or how to take what we dream. Because it's been so many times I've dreamed and just been lost in my dreams. Like, what is that? Why is he showing me this? First of all, some of the dreams I knew God was telling me things. But with other dreams, because I'm telling you, you dream all kind of dreams. You dream sexual dreams. You dream dreams of death. It's all kind of things. But it's when God is trying to get a point across or a message to you. And the way, however he has to get it, like I told you before, he used to wait till I get really tired. Everybody that know me know that when I get tired, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I know what I'm doing, but I do extra stuff. So I start doing extra things. Like if I'm, the other day I was so tired, I put the car in reverse. The garage was already open. I put the car in reverse, and I pushed the thing back. I started going in reverse, and I pushed the garage door down. So I was getting ready to tear the garage door off. That's when I knew I was tired and I shouldn't be driving. But when God, sometimes he'll have, because you be so busy, you be mind on so many things, you're working 2 and 3 overtime hours all the time, and you don't have time to sit down and meditate so God can speak with you. When I tell you, he will get his word. He will get his message, whatever he's trying to get to you, he's going to get it across to you. If he has to speak through the television, speak through a child, however it is, whatever message he's trying to get to you, he'll get it. In whatever way, you can sit up and have a vision, think you sleep, but you woke. Mm-hmm. 'Cause he gonna let you know what's going on. So we're going to talk about a hog now. Oxen have a divided hoof and chew the cud. Therefore, they are clean. On the other hand, hogs have divided hoof but are considered unclean. Everyone knows that pork is one of Moses' forbidden foods. But like catfish, they taste mighty good. So why is pork declared unclean? Hogs don't chew the cud. We've already discussed the spiritual picture behind cud chewing and what it signifies, but there are a couple of more reasons that Hall wouldn't have qualified anyway. When PFE, they always make hogs of themselves. Really, they are gluttons. They have to be. Unlike other land creatures, they depend upon their fur for warmth. They must depend upon their fat. Although they do have some hair, it is completely insufficient to cover them. So they eat everything they can to provide surplus layers of fat for protection. They're just like unsaved rich people. Their covering is their surplus, not their God. They trust in their riches. Jesus said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Mark chapter 10, verse 24. Like catfish and vultures, hogs are scavengers. So we have three unclean creatures, swines on the land, catfish in the sea, and vultures in the air, representing the unclean aspect of the human body, soul, and spirit. So you know when you're dreaming of a hog, a vulture, and a catfish, they unclean. It's something to it. Okay, another domestic animal determined to be unclean under the law is the horse. Moses declared them unclean because their hooves are divided, but that didn't keep Jesus from riding on one. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, but he'll be riding a war horse when he returns for his next visit here on earth. And I saw heaven open up and behold a white horse, and he that sat up on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and his name is called the Word of God. Of Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 13. Horses have been used for work, war, transportation for centuries. Two of these three categories usually determine how they're used in dreams. Although they were the primary means of transportation for centuries, they have been replaced in modern times with horseless carriages, automobiles. But in many parts of the world, they're still used. As in scripture from Revelation 19, horses can still mean war. Their courage, speed, and stamina have made them invaluable war allies throughout history. As we learn when we discuss colors, there are four horses in the sixth chapter of Revelation. The first was a white horse. The second was a red horse. The third was a black horse. And the fourth was a pale horse. Purity, persecution, famine, and death. Each rider carried a message from God. There is one more factor that enters into the interpretation of their message: time. Their messages were... What is it? Oh my goodness. Okay. I don't know what that was, but okay, well, anyway, we're talking about the horses. So, second was a red horse, the third was a black horse, and the fourth was a pale horse. Purity, persecution, famine, and death. Each rider carried a message from God. There is one more factor that enters into the interpretation of their message, and that's time. Their messages were consecutive, each horse representing a specific period of time. Yeah.
Okay, let me get on that.
Each rider carries a message from God, okay? Which I'll keep getting interrupted. It was a dream told one time of 13 evil women, and I know Prophetess Sally was saying one time she had dreamed of a lot of witches, but this dream was of 13 evil women riding 13 black horses in the middle of the night. And when the person woke up, they asked God what in the world that was all about. And he said, 13 evil weeks. And indeed they were. The person had 13 weeks left on their job before they moved. And those 13 weeks gave new meaning to Jesus' word. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. And at that, at another time and in another state, they dreamed of four horses. The first two were strong, beautiful quarter horses. The third was like the first two, but as they passed by, he lifted up his heel, threatening to kick them. The fourth was a lean, mean, red horse that opposed them and tried to bite them as they attempted to pass by him, because they had been introduced to the concept of eyeing as it related to the horse, and made in another previous dream. They knew exactly what God was saying. He was giving them advanced insight into the next 4 weeks of ministry. And a lot of times when God's trying to warn you of something, when he's trying to warn you, when he's trying to get you to go a different direction or to do it at a certain time, he'll use what he has to use for that. Because time is important, because God owns time. Time is all about God is here. So when we start watching time, it doesn't even belong to us. God made time. So that person had called different ministers and things to explain the dream. And she had warned them that toward the end of the third week that they would be threatened, and the fourth week would be cursed. And it came to pass just as the dream depicted. So God was trying to warn her what she was going to go through. He was trying to warn her. And a lot of times, that's what I'm saying, dreams are so, and people don't understand. dreams are so different. Dreams are just so, I don't know, but they're real because God is trying to get a message to you. So they're different. They have different meaning, but it's your message that God is. And just know, anytime you dream, it's to you, and it's a message from God to you. So when you do dream, don't think, well, I dream my mama died, or I dream my daddy died, and all this. No, this thing about you. It ain't about mom and daddy. It's about you. And God is. It will let you know. He'll let you know. I mean, some people sit up just like Apostle James. He sit up and have his eyes closed all the time. And he be saying he in a vision and stuff like that. And he probably is. But he don't write his dreams down. He can tell you what they are. But he says he go out of one vision into another. And if he go back to sleep or if he wake up, he can go back to sleep and go right into another. So this is what we have to look at when we're dreaming, when we have a vision or, you know, anything like that. We have to really look at it and don't try to interpret it if you don't know what you're. Especially when it's a dream about my mama dying, my dad dying, all this kind of stuff. Don't look at it like that. God, it's a message to you. And you have to really know the meaning of it before you try to interpret it, because it ain't what you think it is. It's so many times I just pray and ask God what's going on. Mm-hmm. I just pray. And that's all we can do is pray, especially when we don't know what the meaning of it is. So, I'm just looking at what a lot of these animals okay, I'm just going to go down here. We're talking. I'm looking at what it says about cats are closely akin to dogs, and that both are common house pets. However, they have a completely different meaning. Cats are fearless, independent. They have a mind of their own. Cats do. They are associated with witchcraft in many fairy tales, and sometimes that's what they stand for in dreams. A cat can represent several other spirits too. Okay, and those other, let me see. There are many other fish, birds, mammals, reptiles, insects, and spiders named in the Bible. Far too many to discuss individually. One more that we should discuss through this, those is the spider. The spider take it whole with her hand, and it's in King's Palace. Well, I was on Facebook this morning, and this prophet was asking a young lady, has she been by the spider web? Because I don't listen to everything on Facebook. And it kind of grabbed me when he kept saying, do you dream about spider webs? Or you been bothered with spider webs? And he asked her two or three times, and she didn't want to stay. So he said, well, we're going to let it go like that. And I got off, because I don't listen to especially the ones from Africa. I don't listen to every prophet, because you don't know what they're doing. But the spider take its hold with her hand, and it's in the king's palace. That's in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 28. Those who have tried ridding their houses of spider webs have learned something about this little creature. He takes hold with his hand, meaning they're very tenacious. They never give up. That's a very positive trait, but what they build with their hands is another story. Spiderweb. It would be hard to place a black widow spider in a positive set. And like beavers, they are industrious because they build stuff. Elephants are powerful. Well, we know that because they big. Foxes, they're cunning. Wolves run in packs and devour innocent lambs. Lambs are defenseless in dreams or anywhere. Vipers are deadly. Hogs are filthy. Sharks are ruthless. Mules are stubborn. And monkeys are mischievous in dreams. Fleas are insignificant and flies are unclean. Sloths are lazy. Snails are slow. Moles are hidden and turkeys are dumb. Swans are grateful. Cats are predators and lions are dangerous. Giraffes are exalted. Bears are grouchy and deer are swift. Mice are timid. Rats carry plague. Kangaroos jumps. Birds sing and goats butt. But it's butt people. Skunk stinks. Hornet stings. Moth corrupts. Rabbits increase. Roaches infest. And scorpions sting. And dogs bite. The list goes on and on. Every creature has some characteristics that set it apart and speak clearly to those who have an ear to hear. All we have to do is learn to listen. We have to listen, listen, listen. That's the key. Listen. Sometimes I used to get up and pray and be hollering and praying and speaking and praying in tongue. And the Lord said, wait, don't say a word this morning. Just sit there. I used to do that when I first started in my prayer ministry. I just used to go in the room, get a pillow, sit on the floor and wait. And I didn't care how long I had to wait. I just sit there and wait for the Holy Spirit. And that's what we got to learn to do is just wait, listen, and wait. So on Thursday, we're going to talk about vehicles in our dreams and crashes and stuff in our dreams. So, and we're going to get ready to go, and I hope something was said or done to kind of jog your mind so when you do have some kind of dream or someone else have a dream and you're trying to help them interpret it, your every little detail is important. So we just thank and praise God for this opportunity to learn a little more about the vision. We're going to get ready to close out now. Word, I thank you for your word. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice in the blood of Jesus and in your angels all around them to protect them and their families on tonight. Father, I thank you for using me. I thank you for letting me decrease and the Holy Ghost increase to minister to us on tonight. I just tonight. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise and glory. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. God bless you all. I love you and God love you too. We'll be right back here on Thursday night at the same time by the grace of God. You all have a good night. Amen.